This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers. Anyway, hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your two hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George and Marjorie.
Worshipful Brother Joe, and welcome for the edition, Freemasons Podcast edition of The Fat and the Furious. As you can see, Kenny's not here, and when he was here, it was the big and tall edition.
Correct.
So now it's you and me, it's The Fat and the Furious.
I hear one of the phones on.
I feel...
it's you.
Is it me?
It's you this time.
Nah, it can't be me. No, mine's all the way off. It's got to be you.
Maybe it was me. So yeah. Anyway, today's episode, 192. We're creeping on 200.
Creeping.
You're good at that.
I am, yes.
And so
because I'm small and short to the ground, I can creep like a snake, slither. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Improved Order of Redmen, which is a little-known organization, but it does have its Masonic ties.
Indeed.
So we're going to get into this. But first, we don't have any likes. Why? Because
nobody likes us.
Well, not that nobody likes us, but...
Because you're banned from social media and Ken's not here?
No, because you and Zuckerberg don't get along. You can't just play nice with each other.
Well, there's only so much of my information that I'm letting him gain. And there's no reason to link my personal Facebook account to our podcast, Instagram, and Facebook account. So I'm not doing it.
All right.
F him.
But we got two new subscribers. We got a couple new subscribers, I think. But
we have had a lot of people join the community recently. A lot. Like probably half a dozen in the last few days.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
New subscriber on YouTube, George Antzeletos. I'm going to say this again. Antzeletos. George Antzeletos. Forget it.
He's Greek.
Hi, George.
Hi, nice George. He's Greek.
And then we have John Donovan, who actually just subscribed very shortly ago. I want to thank our subscribers. Please like, subscribe, share, click the little notification bell. We're reaching to 1,000 so we can do some extra things, including polling you to find out what you want to hear us talk about. Because I can't come up with all the ideas, but I try my best. So
it's your show.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. This is what happened. You know it's never a good thing when it's just you and I. Ken's not here
to
buffer.
No. He's not here to play referee. So, yeah. We're going to get into this Improved Order of Redmen. It kind of runs, I would say, somewhat similar to your Bunker Hill thing that you are a part of.
I don't know how similar or how different it is, but yes, I am a member of the Order of the Sword of Bunker Hill.
So I'm going to pull this off of Wikipedia as well as the Redmen's. They actually have a webpage, redmen.org. Then we're gonna go through this and we're gonna talk about it. Cool. So first thing I'm gonna do is Wikipedia. We know Wikipedia never lies, but we'll see. It's a joke. Improved Order of Redmen is a fraternal organization established in North America in 1834. Their rituals and regalia are modeled after those assumed by men of the era to be used by Native Americans. Despite the name, the order was formed solely by and for white men. Organization claimed a membership about half a million in 1935, but has declined to little more than 15,000. Yeah, whatever. We can debate the reasons for why it's only white men. I don't particularly agree with that, but moving on here. History. On December 16th, 1773, a group of colonists, all men and all members of the Sons of Liberty, met in Boston to protest the tax on tea imposed by England. We all know this. When their protest was unheeded, they disguised themselves as their idea of Mohawk people, proceeded to Boston Harbor and dumped overboard 342 chests of English tea. So that's pretty much where they're getting the name Red Men.
Right.
So they're, what they're claiming is their history began in 1773, or they're emulating, would you say?
Yeah.
Emulating,
yeah.
What they did, and that's why they chose the name Red Men. Whether or not that ties into them being primarily white or for white men.
I think it's just
only
paying reverence to the fact that they dressed up as Indians.
No, I'm talking about why they only allow white men to be part of this.
Because they're probably mostly white Anglo-Saxon Protestant folks.
So for the... Oh, hold on. In the late 18th century, the Tammany societies, named after Tammany, were formed. I'm not sure what that is. The most well-known of these was New York City Society of St. Tammany, which grew into a major political machine known as Tammany Hall.
I've heard of Tammany Hall.
I've never heard of this.
I have.
Okay. Maybe from, I don't know, maybe something we could talk about later if...
I've heard of it. I don't know much about it. But
Redmen orders are still around. Worship of the Greg Schultz. Yeah, they're still around. Yep, they're still around. I don't know what their numbers look like. I know there's one guy here in town. His name is, I think it's Frank Hines, I think. He's a... He was the one that used to... He's got all the Redmen regalia and all their charters and everything when we moved from the church to this building.
Yeah.
I met him a couple times, but I don't think they've been active for probably 20 years or so.
That's what a lot of stuff up in the attic belongs to, right?
No, that's the Order of Oddfellows.
Okay.
Yeah, no, when we moved over here to this location, the guy Frank came, and they only had like literally like a cabinet, one small cabinet for their stuff. So, and I think when he picked it all up, he just took it to his house because I believe that... They were dead in the water well before.
Right. But he just didn't want to get thrown out.
He didn't
want to
get
tossed. Right. Yeah.
All right. So, sorry, I had to take a sip there. It's hot as hell up here.
It's really freaking hot.
So, around 1813, a disenchanted group created the Philanthropic Society of Redmen at Fort Milfin in Philadelphia. The organization grew into the 1820s. Here we go. This is where we get good. Parallel lines of advancement were offered in the Order of Red Men, a series of military titles and set of Indian rankings. So, folks say their rankings or their officer chairs, I guess, are modeled off of Indians.
So you probably have chief, like chief, scout, yeah. Squaw, I don't know. Not squaw, that's a female, but you know what I'm saying.
Class and ethnic differences introduced by new immigrants, anti-Masonic persecutions, attacks on fraternal groups based on excessive drinking, and ultimately a widespread cholera epidemic in 1832 led to the decline of the organization. Excessive drinking. All right. Whatever.
We can relate.
Not as Masons, just here on the podcast.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, Masons, really, I mean. There are some dry lodges, though, actually, believe it or not.
Yeah, there actually are. There's quite a few, especially after the Grand Lodge Edict last year.
Yes, where they basically said that you had to organize as a bottle club. You couldn't just have booze in your lodge because of insurance reasons.
Right.
Somebody leaves the lodge, trashes his car because he's hammered out of his gourd, and hurts some people. The entire lodge could be sued.
Yeah, so. But then I would argue that we have people in place to
true, but I'm just
monitor those types of things, and they're not living up to their obligation in their office. But anyway,
Bill, my only point that I'm making is that Mason lodges are not a quote unquote, you know, let's get hammered at the lodge meeting type.
Yeah, we're not the Knights of Columbus.
No. You're gonna start this shit already. What? Huh? You're gonna start this already, huh?
Or the Lions.
So in 1834, the Improved Order of Red Men was started as a revival in Baltimore. So the original Order of Red Men started to die, and then they reorganized into the Improved Order of Red Men.
Okay.
And it focused on temperance, patriotism, American history. In 1835, with only two tribes in place, a larger IORM was organized. Unlike the original order, the IORM, which is the Improved Order of Red Men, uses only expanded Indian titles. So they got rid of the military titles, I guess.
Okay.
So they only do that now. Greg Schultz, he says, the women's auxiliary in the Order of Red Men has the degree of Pocahontas. Yes, yes, they do. That's the women's auxiliary, if you will. Kind of like the Order of the Beauseant with the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1886 tribe, a member, 12 cent a week dues, went into a fund which was used to pay disability benefits. Oh, yeah. So they have their own insurance. It's something that they offer.
It's something that's also very different from Freemasons. We are not an insurance.
Correct.
There are no insurance benefits. That's usually one of the very first things that's explained to you on your investigation committee.
Yeah, exactly. This is not a piggy bank for you. Our red men in Florida, Slitsky of Zaros. Welcome back.
Oh, hey, welcome back, Slitsky.
Welcome back. Our red men in Florida, I have no idea. I don't know much about this organization. I know that there was one up here in Seymour. If they're in Florida, I have no idea.
I don't. I would imagine that at some time they more than likely were.
Well, there is the redmen.org, which is the website. You can go on that, and I'm sure you can find something if they are there. I know it's not really a very popular organization.
Yeah, I would say if it exists in some way, it's probably very small. And certainly not at its peak of when fraternal organizations, you know, post-World War II were exploding all over the place. But,
right. Yeah,
redmen.org. Check it out. And welcome back, Slitsky of Zaros. We missed you last episode, or two episodes ago.
Let's continue on with the organization here. Let's move on to the next one. The order has three-tiered structure. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Local units were called tribes and are presided over by sachem and a board of directors. Local meeting sites are called wigwams.
Okay.
The state level is called the reservation, and the government of the and governed by a great sachem and great council or board of chiefs. The national level is a great council of the United States. Oh, so they're like, excuse me, they have a national level.
Okay.
So they have a great council of the United States. The great council consists of great, oh boy.
You're going to struggle on this one.
In Cojone.
Cojones.
That's what it looks like. How would you say it?
I don't know what you're looking at.
I-N-C-O-H-O-N-E-E. In Cojone.
Yeah, I'd go with that. In Conahee? In Conahee.
It's in Conahee.
I don't know. Like Matthew in Conahee.
Great.
Let's go with In Cojone.
You're a great In Cojone.
Mine are sticking to my leg right now. It's so hot in here.
So he's the president, and a board of great chiefs, which includes the great senior sagamore, which is the first vice president, great junior sagamore, secretary, and blah, blah. Okay, so it's similar to what it seems like ours are Blue Lodge Council here. President,
kind of sounds
vice
that
president,
way, yeah.
Something along the line. They're just using the headquarters of the order has been in Waco, Texas.
Oh.
Since at least 1979. They maintain an official museum and library in Waco. Interesting. So here we go. We're going to get into auxiliary and side degrees. A side degree of the order was founded in 1890 as the National Haymakers Association. Haymakers Association. When I think of haymaker, I just think of somebody throwing a freaking punch.
That's what I think of too. He's throwing haymakers. He's
throwing a haymaker. With the...
I could hear Howard Cosell saying that over like a Tommy Hearns fight or something.
What's Slitsky over there saying? Somebody said?
Oh, let's see. Slitsky, our Redmond, Florida. To that blue beats red, but purples beat all except green. All right. Well, rocks beat scissors. And paper beats rock. And scissors beats paper.
I'm confused. What does that mean?
I don't know. But we
can
like.
Can you please explain?
We like Slisky. Maybe he's thinking like Blue Lodge beats Red
Blue
Men.
Beats Red.
But then Purple beats down on everybody because that's their job.
Except Green.
I don't get the Green. Maybe he's referring to money.
I don't know.
He likes to talk in riddles. I like that
about
him.
That's all right.
He reminds me.
But he is right. Well, blue beats red because you know, if you're going to go red or red, let's go aprons. Here we go. We'll play along. We'll play with this game. All right.
Okay.
So Chapter is a red apron. But Blue Lodge is still your base
Correct.
Masonic
you can
career.
Obtain so nothing you, higher than the third degree of a master.
Right. So Blue Lodge takes precedence over the appending bodies. But within Blue Lodge, a purple apron is higher than a blue.
It is, but there is a part of a charge that says, should even the color purple bless your apron and something, something, something.
Fair point.
But from a ranking standpoint, there are times where purple beats blue as far as... you know, Grand Lodge edicts and things like that, because we do swear our allegiance to him. And I think he's saying that green being money beats everything.
Mm.
All right. All right. I like his little riddles.
It's in the two pillars combined. I'm not following. Anyway, let's continue on here. So then you have the, in 1952, the order created the degree of Hiawatha as a young auxiliary for males 8 and up, similar to our Order of Demolay. For boys.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of... I'm going to have to say, go out on a limb here and say that this is probably a parallel to Freemasonry. Because it seems like, from what I'm reading anyway, and what I'm understanding about these guys, it's very similar to Freemasons, meaning either Freemasons started this as a separate thing, hidden in allegory, which, I mean, when you call yourselves the Improved Order of Red Men...
Right.
And you're white people? You're only allowing white people in? That's allegory for something. That means you're keeping something hidden. Right?
Either that or they're just snobs. They're stuck-up snobs.
Ken Tarwood, don't feed the trolls.
How dare you call my friend Slisky of Zaros a troll, Ken Tarwood? Slisky and I are tight.
Most of the degrees of Hiawatha were concentrated in New England. Well, I didn't know that. In 1979, there were less than 5,000 members in approximately 125 councils. Yeah, so they were starting to lose. The Order of Female Auxiliaries, the degree of Pocahontas, so they do pretty much the same thing.
Can you paint with all the colors?
In 2011, I'm just going through their membership. They were originally up to 519,000 plus.
Oh, wow.
And now, today, in 2011, they're only 15,251.
So my guess with 500,000 people nationwide that they had to be in Florida at some point.
Well, it says members in 46 states in 1921.
Yeah.
But had declined to 31,000 in 32 states in 1978.
Right.
So
I'm guessing no Alaska and Hawaii. So we're down to 48 right there.
Right.
So there are likely two others.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, until 1974, the order was open to whites only. In that year, the 106th Great Council of the United States eliminated the all-white clause in what was called a turning point for the order. Okay.
Good for them.
So good for them. They finally dumped that clause.
And what, that was 1970
we'll leave it at that. What? 1974.
So that predates Freemasonry changing their records, right? Ours was in 1980-something that we recognized Prince Hall and considered them.
And that was Connecticut, right?
Were the first ones. And that was 80-something, I want to say.
Right. Yeah. So I guess so. Yeah. That was before us. Let's go into the rituals of this. Let's see what the rituals look like. Here we go. Greg Schultz. They support... Alzheimer's research. Best part of Alzheimer's research, you can hide your own Easter eggs. Yes.
Yeah. Way to go.
Very nice.
Way to go, Greg.
So let's go into the rituals of this. The order itself claims direct descendant of the Sons of Liberty, noting that the Sons participated in the Boston Tea Party dressed as their idea of Indians. They continue to dress as Indians and use Native American terminology despite being non-Native organization. The groups... Now, let's talk about this real quick, because people look at that and they'll be like... That's racist against Native Americans. No, I mean, I don't think so. They're using the Native American words and everything. First off,
our military has been doing it for years.
What do you mean?
Apache helicopters, Black Hawk helicopters.
Fair point.
Like they've been Tomahawk missiles.
True point. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So,
let me just also say, imitation is the best form of flattery. And I wish people would stop being so goddamn offended about stuff like this, because when you imitate something, it's the best form of flattery. Right?
Except when we imitate you.
No, it's still a form of flattery.
Not really.
You don't see a Joe doll. No, but in all seriousness, imitation is the best form of flattery. And on top of that, if you're drawing your roots of your organization to an act that was done by people dressed as Indians, it's kind of keeping the memory alive of the act that they did in 1775 or whenever the hell it was, right?
Yeah. So in essence, it's white men dressing up as Indians to emulate or imitate or pull from white men who dressed as Indians and dumped the tea overboard and then were part of the founding of this country. So it's not necessarily that they're dressing up as Indians. They're dressing up as men who dressed up as Indians in 1774 or 5, however, before how many years it was before Declaration of Independence. So it's more symbolic of, I would even argue it's more symbolic of American patriotism than it is of any Native American thing, because that's what they're emulating.
Yeah. The group's ritual terminology is derived from the language which they believe to be used by Native Americans, though it also shows the influence of Freemasonry. Ah, here we go. Outsiders are called pale faces, which is what Native Americans called white people.
Right. So that would be our Cowans and eavesdroppers.
To open a meeting is called kindling the fire.
Okay.
Officers at installations are called raising up of chiefs. The voting is called twigging. The Masonic influence is seen in the three basic degrees. Here we go. Adoption, warrior, and chief.
Okay.
There's your inner apprentice, your fellow craft, and your master mason. There's also a fourth degree, beneficiary, or for insurance.
So kind of like our
past master. Yeah. We're going to skip forward here. I was looking for something that was their... notable members. Here we go. Oh, let's see here. Warren.
I want to say both Roosevelts were, right?
Theodore Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
That would be Paul.
John Buchanan Robinson. Albert Dutton MacDade. I don't know who he is. And Warren G. Harding. So I'm going to switch over here. I'm going to go to the Improved Order of Red Men, their actually site, America's oldest fraternal organization. Ah, let me clarify. We, as Masons, are the oldest fraternal organization. They're claiming that they're America's oldest fraternal organization.
Yeah.
And they are chartered by Congress. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know.
They're chartered by the United States Congress?
That's what it says, chartered by the Congress.
Huh.
Interesting. So here's what they have. I'm on their webpage, and yes, it is redmen.org. You're welcome to go check it out. Worship of the Greg Schultz. Red Men's Day at Arlington National Cemetery. Annual ceremony to honor our unknown soldiers and all the brave Americans who have fallen in battle to protect our freedom. Okay. There cool.
Cool.
We're going to go on their website. I'm on it right now, and let's look. Who are the Red Men? The fraternity traces its origins back to 1765 and is descended from the Sons of Liberty. These patriots concealed their identities and worked underground to help establish freedom and liberty in the early colonies. They patterned themselves after the Great Iroquois Confederacy in its democratic governing body. Their system with elected representatives to govern tribal councils have been in existence for seven centuries. After the War of 1812, the name was changed to the Society of Red Men in 1834 to the Improved Order of Red Men. They kept their customs and terminology with Native Americans as a basic part of the fraternity. Some of the words and terms may sound strange, but they soon became a familiar part of the language for every member. The Improved Order of Red Men is similar in many ways to the major fraternal organizations in the United States. Us. The Improved Order of Red Men is a national fraternal organization that believes in, and here are the bullet points, love and respect of the American flag, preserving our nation by defending and upholding the principle of free government. America and the democratic way of life. Preserving the traditions and history of this great country. Creating and inspiring a great love for the United States of America. Helping our fellow men through organized charitable programs. Linking our members together in common bond of brotherhood and friendship. Perpetuating the beautiful legends and traditions of a once vanishing race and kept alive some of the traditional customs, ceremonies, and philosophies. Legally, the Order of Red Men is a patriotic fraternity chartered by Congress. It is a nonprofit organization devoted to inspiring greater love for the United States and the principles of American liberty.
So in that regards, it's very, very similar to the Order of the Sword of Bunker Hill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like real quick to read you the mission statement of the Sword of Bunker Hill. It's to promote the interest of Masonry. So it's specific to Freemasonry. That's where it differs. It's an order within. Promote the interest of Masonry by encouraging a more regular attendance at its meeting to form a social and fraternal organization to perpetuate the principles of American liberty, to instill into the minds of each generation the sacrifices of our Masonic forefathers in forming our great republic, to forever inspire patriotism and loyalty by administering to every candidate for our order the oath of allegiance to the state and nation, to provide a time and place for good, clean fun, and to further cement our friendship and brotherly love.
Awesome. Yeah, so it's basically...
theirs is not necessarily specific to Freemasons, where the Order of the Sword of Bunker Hill is. So that would be one difference, but both seem to be promoting American liberty and freedom and patriotism.
So I just got a couple of things that they do. What are we looking at time, Joe?
What are we doing?
30:42.
Oh, okay. So just a couple things that they do. It says goals of the Red Men. They have the flag recognition program, a program to honor those patriotic Americans who displayed the flag regularly.
Cool.
Faith of Our Fathers Chapel. It's erected at Freedom's Foundation at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, to commemorate the ideals and principles of our founding fathers. Annual pilgrimage to Faith of Our Fathers Chapel. Annual meeting to renew the strength and beliefs of the American way of life. Children with Cognitive, Intellectual, and Developmental Abilities Program. So it's the name of the program is ARC, formerly the Association of Retarded Citizens in Special Olympics. Okay, so they're involved in that. Red Men's Day at Arlington National Cemetery, which is what Worship Brother Greg was talking about, and then they have the Red Men's Week, which is the week of December 16th. Designated as the Red Men's Week, commemorating the Boston Tea Party in 1773. I'm interested in it. Come on, close. Personally, I think it sounds to me like this is something a Mason would start.
Yeah. Given that many of the members of the Sons of Liberty were actual Masons,
correct.
It might have been their way at that time, you know, when it might be that ultimate FU to our buddies across the pond.
Well, I think it might be one of two things. So this is just me hypothesizing here. Mm-hmm. So if me and you were in Morningstar Lodge, mm-hmm. and a couple other people were pissed off at the government about something. Let's just give an example, okay? And I know, I'm not trying to be... Let's talk about something that's a current event, right?
Oh, boy.
No, hear me out. Like, and again, by no means, I'm not making this political, but I'm just trying to use it as an example of... You just follow it. Stick with me here, okay?
I'll shut up until you're done.
Let's say a shipment of COVID vaccines were coming in to Bridgeport. We caught wind of it, right? We're in a Masonic lodge and we're telling all of our brothers, hey man, we need to go do something about this. We need to do something. What's our lodge probably going to tell us?
Pound sand.
Okay. So what happens
that's
is...
That's not part of what we do, so...
Now we have a meeting. We're supposed to have a meeting, right?
Yeah.
And magically, the master can't open because a bunch of us decided to go to Bridgeport dressed as Indians. And threw it into the water, right? By no means am I telling anybody to do this. Please. This is just hypothetical, and I'm using it as an example. So, with that being said, they're not going to come forward and be like, yeah, us Masons, we went and we did this thing. We went and did this, you know, to keep the memory alive because it makes Masons look bad, right? Right. So what you'd go and do is you make another order commemorating exactly what you guys did to keep that memory alive. That's where I'm drawing this Redman origins from, right?
Perhaps. So,
I'm just saying, that would make sense, right? We're going to go make another order, me and Joe and whoever else went and dumped the shit in the water to celebrate what we did.
But it would still conflict with your duties and obligations to Freemasonry. So even though you create this little side order that you're like, oh, well, it's not okay here. It's okay over here. It's still not okay in the main.
But I mean, if you think about it, that's exactly what the members of St. Andrew's Lodge number 2 in Boston did.
Yeah, but the oaths and obligations were different.
No, they weren't.
They didn't have to swear their allegiance to any nation or king or anybody. Those were all added after the Morgan Affair, the whole...
Okay. So let me ask a question here.
Where did we get in? We got into it that one time with the cheerfully submit. That's part of one of the charges.
Then why is something and something accepted and left to our own choosing?
That's a whole different part of the degree. We've had that conversation. That's a whole different part.
But...
That's where you must protect the secrets of a Master Mason, except for those two conditions, which are then left to your choice. It doesn't say those two things are okay. It just says if you commit those things and you tell me in confidence, I don't have to turn you in. It's my choice.
So we take these oaths. We created these oaths.
Yeah.
At what point does a grandmaster have the right and or ability to put these extra things in away from the original oaths of a Mason?
Grandmaster doesn't have the ability to do that. It'd have to be voted on at a Grand Lodge annual where the members of the Blue Lodges are represented and a vote is taken. And
so does that make you a non-Mason now? Because if you had subscribed to the old charges and not the new charges,
well, you weren't
you're
alive.
Still a Mason.
You weren't alive a couple
years
ago.
I know what you're saying,
ago.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, in the future, like, if something...
Well, you got to go based on the oath and obligation that you took at the time where you came into the organization and said, okay, that's what I'm signing up for.
Okay. But on the flip side, though, like, I don't know. Like, and we've had this conversation. I can't remember if we've had it on air, off air, or whatever the case may be. We have had it on air?
Yes.
Like, I took another oath that we talked about.
Right.
And it was an oath... to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Right.
And to defend the Constitution.
Right.
So, which one takes precedence?
Well, you took another oath after that, knowing that you had that other one. So, I would say that you, in some way, by taking an additional
it's
oath...
It's a wash.
If it were to...
Let's do this!
No, you may have nullified your initial obligation.
I don't believe so. But my point, getting back onto this, though, just, you know, I can see that in order to keep shame from the craft, they would create another order commemorating the act that they did in show of American patriotism. Understand that many Americans also in this time during Sons of Liberty, they see themselves as Americans under the British crown. So for them, I mean, that's why the whole revolution got started, is because they... taxation without representation. They didn't feel as equal partners. They felt like Americans being told what to do.
Or subjects of the king.
Subjects, right?
Right.
So America was their country. England was just the overhead body. So if you think about it, they weren't really violating their obligation, even if they had the current ones. So now in modern days, if you were to do something stupid like this, I mean, depending on your point of view, if you feel like our government has become too tyrannical and overreaching, you're...
still in violation of your oath and obligations. So let me put it to you this way. So when I was like 13...
I'm just making a point. Like,
I know.
That's why they would create the Red Men.
So, but hear me out. Let me draw a... And I understand that like that could be why they do, but it doesn't absolve them from anything. So when I was 13 or 14, I made my confirmation.
Okay.
And one of the things they say, do you swear to something to the effect of, do you swear to go against Satan and all his teachings and blah, blah, blah.
No, I'm kidding. That's a joke.
And
that's
I said,
joke.
I do. But of course, on the side, I'm giving like.
Oh, God. No, you weren't. Were you really?
And every time they bring that up in church, I throw the devil horns.
But I said. That's screwed up.
I'm a screwed up person. Surprise. But I said.
The Freemasons podcast in order of its members subscribe to
But I said, yeah, Satan as part of that works. That ritual, if you want to call it a ritual, I said, yeah, I swear off Satan and all his teachings and blah, 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 blah.
Hmm.
So if I then, I don't know, 10 years later, 15 years later, become a Satanist and swear my obligation to Satan, I can't go back and say, well, I took that obligation when I was 13 that said God is cool, so I'm still cool with God. I can't. It conflicts with my secondary oath, so I can't be okay with Satan, but then be like, hey, God's cool too.
But we also don't have a lodge full of 13-year-olds. In my personal opinion, no child under the age of 18 should be taking any swear of an allegiance to anything.
So you're 18, you're still a
child. That's called indoctrination.
You're still a child.
My point, which is why...
Well, so that's I'm invalidating your initial obligation. Thank you. The obligation you took when you were 18.
I was 18 years of age.
Yeah, you're still a kid. You're still a kid. You have no worldly
legally.
Knowledge. Legally, you're an adult, but you're a kid.
Okay.
You're a kid. Is there that much difference between you at 18 and me at 13? Probably not.
So let me just...
I was still taller than you.
So let me just... And again, I know we're kind of getting off the subject here, but this is the thing that burns me off about the hypocrisy of certain things.
Okay.
You can't drink when you're 21. You can't smoke when you're 21, right?
Well, you used to be able to smoke at 16.
But you can join the military, tote a gun, and vote.
Yes, because they're using you as a commodity, as a resource to go die. To fight a war that rich, older people don't want to fight.
You are going to get so much hate mail.
I don't care. It's the truth. If it were, and I'm not saying the people that volunteered... God bless you, because I couldn't do it, and you know you've done great things. However,
you have that back thing.
There's a reason I'm flat-footed. There's a reason why
flat-headed too.
So when do you think an adult male comes into their peak physical form? Not at 18 years old. 24, 25. I know some guys who peaked at 30. Why wouldn't they be off fighting the war? They're in the best possible condition. They just want numbers, man. And you ever see, do these rich kids go off and the rich family 18-year-olds go off and fight a war? No, they stick them on a freaking pontoon boat in freaking Lima or whatever, like John Kerry did and like John F. Kennedy did, so they're not in harm's way. Unlike Prince Harry, who actually went and flew a goddamn helicopter in combat in Afghanistan. God bless him. But to argue your hypocrisy stamp, because they know you're 18. You don't know any better.
So
they know this.
You think I went in and you think 18-year-old people who are 18-year-old men and women who, and they are men and women at that point.
Legally, yes.
who joined the military. And I'm not trying to entrap you here.
I'll give you my honest answer.
Do you think that they really don't go, they go into the military being brainwashed that they, or do they actually like legitimately want to go defend their country and protect their country and join the military because they believe that's the right thing to do?
Some of them absolutely think that. But I will argue that they're not fully emotionally and physically mature at 18 years of age. Do you make the same decisions now that you did when you were 18? I hope you don't. And if you do, don't answer the question. But you think of things differently now than when you, I hope you do.
If I can go back in time.
Would you tell your 18-year-old you, hey, you might want to do this differently? Or would you be like, it all the same?
Not a chance.
Okay.
I would do the same exact path that I went.
And make the same exact decision.
Same exact
every
decision.
Every single one. When not it comes just joining to the military. I'm talking life in general.
No. We're talking about the military portion.
But you
of it.
Can't just segment, hey, I'm smart in military, but I made bad decisions in other parts of my life. No, if you're making bad decisions in other parts of your life, you're probably making bad decisions in every part of your life.
No.
Here's my point. So, yes, some 18-year-olds would say, absolutely, it's the right thing to do. I want to defend my country. I want to do my part. God bless you. Go to a military college and get your education and then learn how to fight a war would be my thing. But the other piece of it, too, that you're ignoring is a lot of 18-year-olds had no other way out. In the 50s and 60s, judges would literally say to you, you're going to prison or you're going in the military. You got a choice.
It still happens today.
So there you go.
Here's
and then
the
you have some people that their only way out of poverty and their socioeconomic situation is to join the military and get a better life for themselves because they can't, they don't have the same opportunities. They can't afford college.
See,
so they're trading off a part of their future to try to make themselves, give themselves a better future.
See, I feel like I need to educate you a little bit on this.
Okay,
one.
Go ahead.
Not everybody who joins the military totes a gun. You have logistics, you have computers, you have intelligence, you have aircraft mechanics, you have vehicle mechanics, you have line cooks, you have medical field.
Yeah, but you don't always get to choose that.
Yes, you do.
You get a choice of three or four.
No, you can choose. No.
I went in for my interview for the Army and for the Marines, and they said, pick five. You're not guaranteed to get any single one of them.
No. You go in with...
Sergeant Katz, Stamford, Connecticut, Marine Recruiting Station. Circa 1990.
That's 1990. Well, you can pick whatever MOS.
What did you,
you
join?
Want.
Like 96? You're not that much younger than me.
No. 99.
Okay, so I was off by 3 years.
I was in the DEP with the delayed entry program. But my point is, I got to pick what I wanted to do.
And they stuck to that.
Yeah, I wanted to be 03-11. And I ended up becoming 03. Okay, so I went, a basic rifleman is 0300.
Did you also want to be 5'11", but that fell short?
Nah, cute asshole. No, but my point being is that there are so many other things to do in the military. You're not just a bullet catcher. There's supply and logistics. You can go to aircraft mechanics, line cooks, medical field. There's so much stuff to do. And realistically... Yeah, you say that, oh, there's poverty. You know, people who join they're impoverished. Yeah, but you know what? There's a couple things you do that happens to you when you come out of the out of boot camp. And I'll just say this. One, okay, you come out a different person. You come out a kid. You go into boot camp as a kid. You come out as a grown adult when you leave. Trust me. Or at least you learn a lot more. You're a different person when you come out. I'll just say that. You come out different.
Absolutely, you come
and
out
I don't
different.
Mean that,
I don't disagree.
I don't mean you come out different as in like, I'm screwed up. You come out different.
Some people do.
You come out way more mature.
Yes, but...
Two. You also...
What's boot camp, 8 weeks?
It depends on what you do. It's either 6 weeks or 12 weeks if you're in the Marine Corps.
All right, let's say it's 12 weeks. You're not gaining life knowledge and life experience. You're gaining combat experience or combat knowledge.
No, there's no combat knowledge.
Well...
Nope. You know how you're
not coming out more aware of the world after 12 weeks in the Marine boot camp.
Hold on. Two things. One, you join the military, right? You join boot camp, right? The only thing you do technically combat-wise is fire at the range. Everything else is critical application and learning how to do things, how to fold your laundry, how to work a freaking iron, how to starch a pair of pants, walk in formation. Actually, well, something that I think all kids nowadays should learn is how to listen to a superior.
Yeah.
Like, these are all things you learn. You don't actually start learning what your trade is until after boot camp when you join infantry training battalion, MRT, which is... MCT, Marine Combat Training or something.
Right.
But you get broken down into what your actual job is going to be. And that's where you learn how to cook, where you learn how to work in the medical field. So
how did starching your pants make you more
aware?
I don't know
how the hell we got here off of...
How did starching your pants make you more, give you more worldly knowledge and help you make better decisions in life?
Because a couple things. One, I never knew how to actually sew anything at one point. Like, I didn't know how to sew. I didn't know how to... I mean, think of all the kids nowadays. How many times I have to tell Georgia, like, pick your shit off the floor. Pick up your room. Clean up your freaking room.
If it makes you a different person discipline-wise, I can't argue with that.
Number one.
I can't argue
Two,
with that.
Two, teaches you how to manage money. You know how bad I sucked prior to freaking going in the military? How much I managed? I mean, I still suck at managing money. But I'm saying, as a kid, I didn't know how to balance a check account. The Marine Corps taught me how to balance a thing.
Okay.
When I said, I'll be there at 4 o'clock, right?
Taught you how to be on time.
No. The Marine Corps, they expect if you're 15 minutes early, you're already late. So it taught me to be more disciplined in what I do. So,
yes.
I mean, personally... That's where I go with it. I don't know how we got off of the red men here, but this is fine.
Because you decided to go this whole political thing.
I'm not going to a political thing. I'm going...
And then you called me a hypocrite.
I didn't call you a hypocrite.
No, you didn't.
I was going to say,
You did discuss the hypocrisy of the, like, 18-year-olds can go to war and fight, but they can't drink, they can't do this. And
right.
That's how we got
So let's circle this back here, all right? So obligation that you take as a Mason, right?
Yes.
That's why we have it where you have to be 18 to be a Mason.
Right.
Because under 18, I mean, you can argue all day, you know, who, what's considered an adult? 18, 21. You can argue that all day. That's up for every grand lodge. But anything realistically under 18, you don't give a shit about. You're fire and forget. So that's why I'm just not down for kids taking obligations or swearing allegiances prior to being an adult. And then let you make your decision for yourself. Because what that I call is indoctrination.
Right.
When you're telling your kid, oh, do you swear to do this? And do you swear to do that? And will you do this? Or will you do that? It's indoctrination.
And I still think that, and my because argument is honest the to same God? Thing at 18. To me, it's just, because it's like the argument with some of this COVID bullshit. Where it's like, well, if you're 6 feet away, you're safe. But if you're 5 feet and a half away, you're not safe.
Here's
so if you're 17 years old, you're not capable of making these decisions. But one more year, automatically you're get this magic thing that goes off and you can make these decisions. It doesn't work like
that. Well, here's the thing. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I learned more from the History Channel than I did in school. So my point is,
now you're in high school.
Do your own research, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, do your own research into things.
But people also mature at different levels. And
correct.
18-year-old George might have been more mature than a 18-year-old Ken. Oh, I doubt that. Probably you're more mature than an 18-year-old Schultz. Or same. But, you know, a 16-year-old me might have been more mature or less mature than a 16-year-old you.
I,
you know, it's everybody's different. So you can't just put a number on it and say, oh, just because they...
No, everybody matures. No, I agree with that. Everybody matures a different thing. But I do think there are...
I know 40-year-olds that I would say, no, you're incapable of making the decision to join the military.
No, but and I agree with that. I do. That but there are some people that never mature.
Right.
They're children until they're freaking, you know.
Right.
But
we're not getting any hate comments on this.
No, it's actually gotten very quiet.
Yeah, I think they're. Did we make them uncomfortable?
I think they either made them uncomfortable or they're like, we don't want to listen to these two freaking Karens bitching over here.
We got 5 current viewers.
Seven.
Where do you see 7?
8 and 5.
Oh, 8. Okay.
Anyway, so getting back into the whole Redmen thing, I think personally, that's what they did is they went and made a branch organization to keep the Masons out of the fact of the deed they did. But I mean, I could be wrong, but I think it's interesting how many Masons are, many Masons were either, were involved in it. Teddy Roosevelt, Warren Harding and all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of their stuff is modeled off of Freemasonry, you know, just changing
everything. And most fraternal organizations have stolen things from Freemasonry in some way, as far as their organizational structure, as far as, or like you said, founders could have been part of it. My daughter went through the agroscience program in high school, and they're a part of the FFA, which I believe is the Future Farmers Association of America.
Right.
When they have their meetings, I'm sitting in there going, yeah, Mason designed this. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, because they literally go around the room, and the person that's in charge, that would be the equivalent of our master, checks in with the secretary, checks in with the treasurer, they're like, where's this person? And it literally, the opening closing ceremony, other than the titles, mirrors the opening closing of a Masonic lodge.
Well, that's also Robert's Rules of Order, too.
Yeah.
Robert's Rules of Order, I believe, was started in a Masonic lodge, right?
That I don't know. I know they're often thrown up. You got to follow Robert's rules. No, you don't. Suggested. It's a suggestion. You don't have to. I can do whatever I want as master.
We'll have to look up that, Roger.
Look it up now. That's where we miss Ken. He'd be looking this up by now.
He'd already know it. He just computes.
Well, that's true.
But I bet you, my assumption is that Robert's Rules of Order was probably started in some sort of a... And honest to God, when I go to my town Republican meeting... for the town of Naugatuck, they started it up. First time I was ever there. I don't know if I've ever talked about it. I sat down and I'm like, all right, how do we start this meeting? We stand up, we do the pledge, we sit back down. And then all of a sudden he's like, all right, we're going to read the minutes of our last meeting. I'm like, oh my God. He's like, words from the president. Does the vice president have anything? Does the treasurer have anything? I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, but even some of, like, in this FFA, the terminology that they use.
Founding, the new founding Fathers of America.
The Future Farmers Association. But even, like, just
NFFA.
The language that they use is extremely similar to.
Right.
You know, what's your symbol? It's a plow. And what does that stand for? Like, that kind of stuff.
Ritualistic jargon. Yeah. Gotcha. What do you say, Joe? It's hot as balls. You want to get the hell out of here?
Yeah, let's get out.
All right. This one, we got as much as we could about the Redmen. If anybody else got any other thing on the Redmen, please put it in the comments. We will definitely look at it and respond. I'm pretty good about responding to people when they have something.
And welcome back, Slisky of Zaros.
I know. Hey, it's pretty cool that he came back.
He did come back, and he wasn't obnoxious.
No.
He or she, I don't know which one.
He or she. And,
Slisky, you're welcome to comment anytime. Just keep them respectful. And if you have questions, we'll try to answer them.
Slisky, if you can, don't just throw out weird things that we don't understand what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, because you're just
slowing
us down. We have to look it up.
Like, you got something you want to add that we can actually, or a question that we can actually talk about? Fine with that. But
yeah, help us out.
Don't throw out vague shit. It just doesn't. We're just going to skip over it.
Don't be a Rocco.
Don't be a Rocco. All right, Joe. Flip over to OBS and when we're ready to go, hit the stop stream. So, anyway, I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you guys got any comments, let us know. Till next time.
Signing off for the Fat and the Furious edition.
For the Freemasons Podcast, I am Right Worshipful Brother George Marjorie signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
Have a good night.